time. Now I'm going to get my guests here in studio to pop on their headphones, because we're going to start off on the issue of puppy farms this evening. And we want to hear from Pete Wedderburn on the, he's a vet and it's the biggest animal welfare issue in Ireland. It's a short clip of him. Let's hear what he has to say.
We need more clearly defined guidelines for dog breeding establishments, including a much lower number of total animals on the premises, and unannounced visits and inspections with proper detection and stronger sanctions for rule breakers. The production of puppies in these high quantities contributes to the overall surplus of dogs in Ireland. We just have too many dogs, and as a country, we need to look at our attitudes to the production of pets. We have good legislation now, but there is no enforcement of the sale of pets regulations.
And that was Pete Wedderburn, who is not only a vet, but also the chair of the ISPCA. Now, as I said, we're joined on the line by Patricia Devlin, investigative journalist with the Journal on the line from Derry. Patricia, good evening to you.
Good evening.
How would you sum up the state of play in Ireland with regard to puppy farms? We heard what Pete Wedderburn was calling there in terms of a remedy, but let's give listeners a sense of where Ireland is.
Well, I think there was a debate in the Dáil 5 years ago about, you know, the number of puppy farms with the over 600 breeding bitches. And actually from that time in 2020, that it's actually boomed since then. So the puppy industry has grown. So we had quite a lot of pandemic puppies during COVID times, where more and more people bought dogs because they were at home. So that not only created more demand for pets, but also separately more incidents of dog attacks, bites. So at present, the ISPCA estimates that there's 30,000 puppies a year being produced in Irish puppy factories, which is staggering. Yet that isn't even the figure that the DSPCA would estimate when you take in backyard breeders, illegal puppy farmers. It's more around 70,000 to 100,000. So experts would say this is outrageous. There's a poor regulatory framework here. This is a 187 million euro industry, and little has been done to stop it.
And, you know, as you say, the situation has worsened over a number of years. I mean, when you were looking up those figures to research this area, were you surprised by what you found?
Well, surprised and not surprised, because there has been so much talk and a lot of talk in government about cracking down on this industry. And like the vet had said there in that clip, there is a great legal framework there, but it's not being enforced. And I think now we're at a stage where there's so many dogs being produced, and then you've got the you know, the issues of animal cruelty and abandonment just coming on top of that. And I think now we're almost drowning and don't know what to do, when something should have been done a long time ago. And sadly, we don't see much crackdowns on these backyard and illegal breeders.
Ciara Malone from the My Lovely Horse Animal Welfare Charity is with us here in studio as well. Ciara, those figures of 70,000 potentially puppies being bred in Ireland per year, all of those, are all of those being homed, first of all? Where are they ending up? And how many of them are ending up with charities such as yourselves pretty early on in their lives?
A lot are ending up in the charities like ourselves. Like, we have puppies, so many puppies at the moment that have even been surrendered because no one's buying them now. Do you know what I mean? So, like, with the breeding side of things, it's hard to even to comprehend the amount. Like, we're overrun at the moment with dogs.
And how are they arriving to you? Are they just being abandoned? Are they being
abandoned?
Are people
surrendered,
reporting them wandering?
Yeah, we have loads. Like, we get loads of messages every day that they're straying, that the puppies found in town, found in different parts of the country, just wandering the streets. Or someone had bought a puppy but now realised that they don't have the time, and they're only realising after the fact. And then they're asking us for help to see if we can take them and rehome them. But our hands are, obviously, we're not going to say no. It's very hard to say no to an animal that's in need. you know, because we don't want to see what's going to happen to it if we do say no.
Right. And are you any more successful in rehoming dogs when, I suppose, you're not charging for them, whereas the puppy farms are obviously looking to maximise the amount of money? I mean, we should say there are responsible dog breeders out there. There are people who comply with all the regulations, who love animals, who you know, engage in dog breeding in a responsible and sufficiently small scale. But in these situations, the so-called puppy farms, where bitches are not given a chance to break between pregnancies, where they're overwrought and are physically in danger, that's I suppose the kind of operation we're talking about.
Yeah, like the welfare side of that and having it regulated, no one should have that amount of animals and constantly breeding all the time. Like, that's, you wouldn't do that to a human. That's the way you have to see it. You wouldn't put a human in the same position as an animal. So why are their welfare needs any different to ours? You know, so like that's the way like we consider it. These are living beings. You shouldn't be using them for profit for your own pocket. Like,
sure.
You know, it's not on.
Ruth Coppinger, the what was outlined there by Pete Wedderburn at the beginning, you know, there are rules there. There are animal welfare rules there. So what's the missing bit between the enforcement of the rules? How could that be improved?
Well, I think it's clear that Ireland is a laggard in terms of animal rights. It was a word that was used by Leo Varadkar, who was subsequently became Taoiseach. And we have to look at all the evidence, like puppy factory capital of Europe. That's been known for years. We allow things in our farming that other countries don't. You know, pigs in sow stalls, in farrowing crates that are banned in the UK and in Europe. And then things like fox hunting, which I know we'll be talking about after, but that's been banned two decades ago in England, Scotland and Wales. And so we have to conclude that there is no interest in animal rights. And you look at the doll, it's not right that animal rights is part of agriculture at all, in my opinion. It should be completely...
You mean that the Department of Agriculture is responsible for animal welfare inspections?
Yes. And now, actually, apparently they've taken the vets who will be doing the inspections of puppy farms away from the councils, and that's going to be subsumed further into agriculture.
But wherever there might be a conflict on the area of agriculture, where you know, there's the same animal might be a welfare concern and somebody is trying to make a profit there as well. Although, again, you know, the farmers will argue that most and many look after their animals well. On this issue, puppy farm seems to be an issue that's just so egregious that it seems to beggar belief that enforcement wouldn't be concentrated on these operations.
We need legislation to ban this practice. Personally, I don't see why we need to be breeding dogs when there are, you know, thousands and thousands of dogs in need of homes, in rescue centres, everywhere. If there is some argument that we need to keep certain breeds, maybe the state should be doing it rather than leaving it in the hands of private breeders for profit. And of course, all somebody has to do is just register with the department. There's no limit on the amount of dogs that they actually breed at all. For example, the ISPCA, I believe, used to argue you should be only allowed to breed 3 dogs. So none of this has been debated or discussed in the Dáil. There isn't an appetite. And any time that any of these issues are brought up, we hear this pathetic rural-urban divide.
Right.
You know, introduced.
Pádraig O'Sullivan, you're joining us down the line from Cork, Fianna Fáil TD for Cork North Central. You've put down quite an amount of PQs on animal welfare issues for written responses. But on this particular issue of puppy farms, what do you see as the missing piece here?
Well, look, I think, I think all your three speakers have kind of touched on the issue. There are short-term steps that I think that we should be considering, and there are loopholes in the legislation. Ruth mentioned there that the SPCA recommended that only 3 bitches would be, or 3 bitches would be allowed to be used for pups in 1 year. There's actually a loophole there that can allow up to 5 breeding bitches per year without a puppy farm or a puppy breeder having to register at all. And I think that's something that could be looked at in the short term. I do believe that that's excessive. I think that's something that the minister could look at immediately. Just on the point in relation to it being an ag Department of Agriculture competency, it actually is quite frustrating for public reps when we get phone calls about animal welfare issues, because it straddles Department of Agriculture, Justice and Home and local government. Mm-hmm. So what we find when there are breaches of animal welfare legislation is you're passed from pillar to post between all three of those departments, often through local authorities and the guards as well. And unfortunately, at the middle of it, you know, is an animal that's suffering or often dying. And that's the most frustrating thing, I think, as a public rep. So we need to ensure greater traceability, greater powers for local authorities. I'd like to see them enhanced. We are reviewing the Animal Health and Welfare Act at the moment, and the Control of Horses Act is subject to review as well. I think powers need to be strengthened there.
We'll go back to Patricia Devlin in Derry. Patricia, what do you think the gaps are in the rules? Maybe you'd outline, you know, what you see the key rules are and where they fail then in your estimation.
Yes, so Padraig did touch upon the loopholes. You know, there's several pieces of legislation that actually is supposed to regulate puppy breeding, and that covers everything from how many dogs can breed. And like Padraig said, that's, I mean, you could have five dogs and you don't have to register as being a breeder, but if you have over six, you do. The legislation also covers how they're accommodated and cared for and traceability. As I mentioned, there's, you know, the need to register as a dog breeding establishment with your local council. There is a limit on how many litters of pups each dog can give birth to within a specific time frame. I don't know how that's recorded, if it's checked upon. You know, how are these checks taking place? Are they, you know, are these random checks or are they arranged? So we don't know that. Basically, in my eyes and my research, what I kind of came up against and what people were saying to me is that the punishment wasn't there. So if we were lucky enough to get a case, the government was lucky enough to get a case to the courts for prosecution, the penalties were really poor. And so from speaking with people and investigating those involved in that type of activity, there's impunity there. And so they don't. No one worries about going to court because you'll probably just get a fine or get told to donate to charity. So I think there needs to be better enforcement and there needs to be better punishments. And I do realise that's, you know, that's a separate issue. It's a court issue, justice issue, but it's something that comes up time and time again in terms of animal cruelty and welfare.
Padraig O'Sullivan, you got some figures in a PQ about people who were subject to disqualification orders. Is that for looking after all animals or specific animals? Is that agricultural animals or is that also domestic animals? And maybe if you have them to hand, and I have them myself, and we can go through a couple of them, but if you have them to hand, maybe you'd kind of at least outline some of the trends in that.
Yeah, so maybe I can compare 2020 to 2024 figures, and it's for all animals. People that have received a 20 plus year ban from owning an animal has increased from one person in 2020 to 13 in 2024. And then there's a series of other periods from ranging from 10 to 20 years, where, for example, it's again 2020, one person was banned from having an animal for 10 to 20 years, whereas it's 5 in 2024, and the trend has increased from relatively low figures to higher figures in 2024. On the number of horses, it's a separate question that were seized in the period as well. 2020, you had 800 odd horses seized in 2020. That's declined to 288 horses.
Well, we may come back to those figures when we're looking at horses later on in the programme, but Ciara, just on those issues of enforcement and people being disqualified, I mean, would your charity know anecdotally of where these dogs are coming from and who's breeding them? And is there any opportunity to at least call for an investigation into people you believe are behind this kind of breeding?
Yeah, well, we'd love to have some sort of accountability as well to be able to find out who's breeding dogs, unregulated breeding, unlicensed breeding. It's the biggest issue that we have, is just everybody looking to breed, and no way of finding out like how many dogs that they actually have. Like, they could tell you that they only have the required amount of breeding females, but they might have more. And how many times a year are they being made breed as well? That needs to be, you need to have checks on all of this as well to keep people accountable for what they have.
And Ruth Coppinger, who is the competent authority to whom people should be reporting suspected puppy farms? Is it the Department of Agriculture? Is it the local authority? Is it the Gardaí or any and all of the above?
Well, it was the local authority, but I think just very recently the control was taken by the Department of Agriculture away the vets were. I think that we do need an independent body that investigates animal welfare. I think, and it needs to have powers. And I just think that while it is left within the competence of the Department of Agriculture, there are sometimes, in fact, like you've said, conflicts of interest because, you know, if animals are being mistreated on farms, for example, they don't want to bring disrepute onto the food industry, onto the huge agribusiness sector that is so important in Ireland. You know, I raised issues, for example, in the Dáil recently about an investigation that was done by the National Animal Rights Association in randomly into a number of farms in relation to the pig industry. Their findings were horrific. All of the information was given to the department and nothing has come back because of this reputational issue. I mean, the pig industry is particularly bad in Ireland out of all of the, you know, farm industries. And, you know, that's a real problem. And I think we have to demand that there is a body with real teeth to investigate, excuse the pun, the animal abuses that are going on in Ireland.
Sure. I know that, and look, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, there will be people listening in tonight who may be involved in pig farming who would take grave exception to that, who, you know, look after their animals and say that some of the people you're talking about are, you know, a minority of offenders in an industry. You may disagree with that, but, you know, that I'm sure there are people at home listening to that saying it. But I just, Padraig O'Sullivan, looking at the number of animal welfare officers, specifically dog wardens nationwide, if they were to be the competent authority to look after issues like puppy farms, there aren't very many of them when you look through the number of them. You know, Carlow County Council has one, but Dunleary Rathdown, which would have a much bigger population, only has one as well.
Yeah, I think nationwide, excuse me, there's in the region of 70 or 80 nationwide. Now, by any estimation, I don't think that's enough to cover the geography of the island and the various populations in each of the local authorities. If the one thing I would say is the previous Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, did increase funding for animal welfare charities up to €6 million last year. Now, I'm not pretending for a second that that's enough. It's nowhere near enough. I do believe that we're going to have proper, meaningful investment in...
I think over half of that went to horse-related charities, didn't it? 3.4 million of the six million, was it?
That's correct, 3.4 million to horses. So, look, it's a drop in the ocean into what is an extensive problem. I think, as I said, I think all public reps are familiar with various different, whether it's horses, dogs, you name it, there's calls that we get into our offices most weeks. I don't think €6 million across the entire charity spectrum is enough to cover what is...
Would you care to put a figure on it?
Well, I don't know, but let's be honest about it. We're going to go on to talk about greyhound and horse racing funding, I would assume, at some stage, and you know you're receiving up to €100 million. So, I would expect that it's a much larger figure than €6 million. To be fair,
Ciara Malone, would you like to have a stab at that? I mean,
well, we definitely need more money. €6 million is not enough, and I'm not even 100% sure where all that's going. We got last year for our rescue, 52,000. And it takes about 1.5 million to run our rescue for that year alone.
How much does it cost roughly? I mean, sorry to put you on the spot but to look after one horse for
one
a year.
Horse. So one horse, you could be looking at anything from 5,000 to 7,000 a year, just for one horse for your basic needs, your hay, your feed, your farrier, which if you have shoes on your horse, you're looking at every 6 to 8 weeks.
So that 52,000 would cover maybe 10 horses.
Maybe 10 horses,
And how many horses would your charity be looking after in any given year?
Oh, anything.
Sorry about this quick fire round now.
No, it's great. Like we get a lot of horses. We have a lot of injured animals, a lot of horses that can't be rehomed, a lot of behavioural problems, or some horses don't want anything to do with people anymore. If we come anywhere near them, they'll break out in a sweat, and we don't want that either. So obviously we try to create the best environment for them.
Right.
But we could have anything from 80 90 horses.
Okay.
Coming into it.
We'll come back to that specific issue, but I do want to, we've a range of issues as we get through the programme, but